Romans chapter 8. I'll preach on two verses tonight, one verse next Sunday night, just for your planning and reading. You don't have to be overwhelmed by these passages. I'm going to read these two verses, then we're just going to kind of where have we been and where are we going with Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. We're going to read. Let me just remind you, we just went through this passage, verse 18 through 25, a couple weeks ago, where it was really just dealing with suffering and glory. Is that when we're on this side of heaven, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be groaning, there's going to be struggles. And it really answers that question, right, in verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Why do animals die? Because of man's sin. And so, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. So we see the struggle, and I want to tell you that the rest of this chapter, I believe, is an encouragement because there is some overwhelming stuff when we be able to piece this together. And you're going to find the rest of chapter 8 to be overwhelmingly encouraging, beginning with verse 26 and 27 tonight. And actually, you could suggest it started in verse 24 and 25 that says we are saved by hope. And if you have seen it, then it's not true hope, because what you've seen is not yet hoped for. But let's look at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our struggles, our just failings. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that knoweth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Just a simple title tonight, the helpful Holy Spirit. You know, we Baptists, we got to be careful that we don't under-preach the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is critical. The Holy Spirit is equally God. The Holy Spirit has his role. The Holy Spirit, though, is always wanting to bring attention to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit never wants to bring attention to himself. If you really begin to think about future events, we know the Father. We see the Father mentioned in eternity. We see Jesus mentioned in eternity often. But I will tell you, I rarely see the Holy Spirit mentioned, but that's just like the Holy Spirit. He is not here to draw attention to himself, but I will tell you this, he is a great blessing to us. When you and I were saved, the Holy Spirit comes in us and indwells us. And remember, it said this earlier in Romans chapter 8, if the Spirit of Christ doesn't dwell in you, you are none of his. And so, let me tell you, my hope, my ceiling, my guarantee is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does some things here in verse 26 and 27 that are incredible. Now, let's just remind us where we came from. Some intimidating reality, if you want to really understand this, that can lead us to be discouraged if we're not careful. And that's why we need to have everything in balance. Romans chapter 6 really says, we are dead to sin. Every believer in this room, you don't have to sin. You've been given all you need to have victory over your sin. And yet we wallow in it, do we not? And it can be very discouraging if you just dwell on that one part, but it's very encouraging to know that you can have victory over your sin. Look at it in the positive vein, not in the vein of how often we fail. But it can be discouraging. Romans chapter 7. It then said, we are no longer under the law. We're not under a set of rules. We are under love, not the law. And then it deals with this flesh versus spirit, and it's carried into chapter 8 a little bit. It's sort of like Godzilla versus King Kong, right? But that's a bad analogy, because sometimes Godzilla wins, sometimes King Kong wins, but the spirit will ultimately win. Right? So, but there's this battle. It can be so discouraging when you are overcome and you give into the flesh and yet you struggle. And then in chapter 8, we just saw the flesh of the spirit, which will we walk in, and then this groaning. you know, life is difficult, life is hard, and if we are focused on that, we'll get discouraged. But then verse 26 and 27 give us a great perspective. Now, look at this in verse 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I'm not exactly sure what the likewise means there. I'm just going to take a simplistic view, and it's not an original thought. But I think what it's talking about is it's likewise, because it's coming right after this passage in verses 18 through 25 that talks about how we groan within ourselves. Look at verse 23. And it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. You see, it even talks about, look at this. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. I think when we groan within ourselves, because this life can be difficult, when the creation groans and it's been marred, it's been creaking and falling apart. So always listen to the world. They usually have half truths, and maybe it's three quarter truths, but it's still not the truth. But is this planet falling apart? It is. And is there an end to this planet? There is. And would it surprise me that you could measure that with scientific, true scientific objective? It would not surprise me in the least bit. But their conclusions will never be the correct conclusion, because I don't know how you scientifically measure sin, because sin is a spiritual activity. But the effects of sin can be seen physically, and the whole creation groans. You and I groan, and I think the likewise here is that the Spirit also helps our infirmities. First thing I want you to see tonight is we are weak and the Spirit helps. Look at this. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I want you to be encouraged with this tonight. If you feel overwhelmed with the Christian life, you're in a good place. If you feel inadequate, that you can't cut it, if you look at others and think, you know, they've got it sewed together, one, you're probably wrong. But if you understand your weakness and you really, you understand it and you don't get depressed, but you allow it to humble you and you allow it to draw you to the Lord, oh, are you in a good place? But here's what I want you to know as well, is the Bible says this, that the Spirit, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And so I want you to understand this. Turn, if you will, it's one of my favorite passages. Stephen and I even mentioned it this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And so, but when those infirmities aren't taken away, when those weaknesses aren't taken away, when those struggles aren't taken away, when those pains aren't taken away, we must believe, and it is true, and it's the belief has to be, we must have confidence. We must trust God that He knows what's best. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. This is Paul speaking to this young church at Corinth, his second inspired letter, probably at least his third letter written to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations," God had used Paul so much he could get a big head, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." It's amazing he only asked three times, but maybe the Lord then verbally said. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I want you to combine both of these passages. It says in Romans chapter 8, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." God cares about your struggles. God cares about your physical pains. God cares about your spiritual weaknesses. God cares about them more than you do. And so when they remain in your life, if you've examined your life and there's no harboring of sin that you will not repent of, then I want me to have peace that if this is what God has for me and it's for His glory, for His honor, that He might be exalted, I will glory in mine infirmities. Because when we are weak, the Spirit helps us. And when the Spirit doesn't, there's one of two choices. It's exactly what God wants in our life, or it could be there because of sin. Always examine your heart. Always examine that maybe it's a consequence of sin. And God's not the zapping God. That's not my point. I don't want you to view God that way, but I want you to understand this, that when we have aches and when we have pains and all of this, you know, with this virus going around, it is you can run, but you can't hide. And so, you know, if the virus, how are we going to respond? I have a friend that, they have had in the past few weeks, it's like 6 funerals at their church. That's devastating. That's hard. That's rough. And it almost makes you want to just throw up your hands and say, I'm done. I don't know what to do. But we must trust in the Lord with all of these things. And so I want you to know this, that when we are weak, the Spirit helps us. And when He doesn't remove some pain, some struggles with us, and you know that, you know, to the best of your ability, this is not that you have to do some full inventory. You and I know when we're in sin, don't we? You and I know when we're not thinking right. You and I know when we're not planning right. You and I know when we're not doing right. You and I know when we're not in the Word of God. You and I know when we're just fleshy. You all know that. If that's not there, then rest assured, it may be for a short time. But I know this, God cares about my infirmities, and He has them here for me to learn. I told you this morning, and I'm learning to trust the Lord. I wish this ought to scare you, that your pastor's learning to trust the Lord and that I can ask the Lord to give me trouble. I've examined my life. And what will draw me to the Lord is trouble. And you know this? If it's trouble that I need, then give me trouble. You all know this. I've stated it many a time, and I'm praying that God will continue to draw me to Him and allow me to be a better a pastor, a better believer, and a more focused man in prayer. But part of it is, it's because of, I think, I'm too independent. I'm too arrogant. I take credit for the good in my life, and I do not allow things to draw me to the Lord because I haven't had a lot of trouble. And so, but what I find is that's when I'm likely just to get lethargic and drift. But I want you to know this, that in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Let me show you this. Our weakness includes prayer. He says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I have read these stories, and have you ever heard people preach like this? I have. You ever hear people preach and they go, answered prayer ought to be so regular in your life that you have a notebook and you could just show people the answer of prayers left and right, and that's good. So that's not my experience, right? I mean, the dramatic things, right? If you ask me to chronicle the blessings of God, I can chronicle the blessings of God. If you ask me to chronicle the answers of prayer, I love that. Maybe I should do that more, right? So I love this. It encourages me that our weakness includes prayer, that when we don't even know what we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit itself will intercede for us. I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 6. I want us to look at the Lord's Prayer just quickly tonight. And I enjoyed this because, I was just reminding myself, what is prayer about? And so, maybe I don't say this disrespectfully, I'm telling you this is This would have been my reaction if I were the disciples. Matthew chapter 6 doesn't mention them asking. That's given to us in another one of the Gospels. Matthew 6 is just the Sermon on the Mount. But Matthew 6 gives us the Lord's Prayer that we'll look at. So if I were one of the apostles and I'd say, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord gave me this, which is perfect. Okay, so everything Jesus does is perfect. I'm a little disappointed. I'm like, and give me something here. I want you to look at the simplicity of the Lord's Prayer. And in my simplicity, I've broken it down into three things. Three things. Let's look at this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Just don't say the same thing every time, every time, every time. Now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, I pray my soul to keep. You know, he's not interested in that. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Because all people have some religion, typically. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Listen to that. Isn't that good? He knows what you have need of before you ask him. And he says, after this manner, I do not believe the Lord's Prayer is something you should quote when you're talking to God. He says, after this manner, this is the pattern. This is kind of the elements that you should examine your prayers, and do they include this? He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven. Remember this, when we pray, we're talking to the Father. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is the name of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here's the three, this is just the three things that this, and I'll break them down for you. I think there's three categories that this prayer, in my view, it's about God. When you go to pray, make your prayer about God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Those are all about God. Then look how it's finished. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The beginning and the end, it's all about God. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, focus on him, adore him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Adore him, praise him. And we're seeking his will, are we not? He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then you see the second category. At least I'm oversimplifying, so don't get too upset with me. The second category is just our daily needs, which would suggest that God's okay for you to not know how you're going to get taken care of tomorrow. That was the whole purpose of daily manna. If you took too much, because I'm telling you, I would have had the most stinking tent in the world the first night, because the hall's got a deal, man. It's like, there's extra manna laying out there. I'm going to go get some. You know, just to put a little between my cheek and gum. And you know, I need some manna at midnight. And man, my tent would have been stinking so bad, because I would have thought, you know, I don't know if he really meant that. It was probably just an allegory. No, but God said, I will provide for you daily. We don't know what that's like, do we? But that's his desire for us. He wants us to need him. And he wants us to have a need to turn to him for that day's provision. I don't know if those times are coming in the United States of America, but God will be good to us if we don't know where tomorrow's food's coming from. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't abandoned Christians across the world. So what I see is it's about God, and it's about just our daily needs. And then what I see is this. This is a third category. It's sin. Right? Do you see this? He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we need forgiveness. What do we need forgiveness of? Sin. Right? And you just got to love this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? Because he says in verse 14 of Matthew 6, look at this. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You want to cause an issue of God answering your prayers? Have a spirit of unforgiveness. It will squash God from granting you the blessing of the cleansing that comes from forgiveness. I want you to know this. When I talk about this forgiveness, it's a 1 John chapter 1. Understand that when you're saved, all your sins are removed. All of them have been forgiven, but you still need to turn to the Lord for forgiveness of sins, for that fellowship between you and the Lord. It will get in the way, and you need to ask the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to believers. I know we use that verse, 1 John 1:9, to unbelievers. But that 1 John 1:9 is written to believers. And what it's about is it's about the father-child relationship. You don't have to ask God to forgive you of your sins because you're worried about going to hell, but you do need to ask God to forgive you of your sins if you want him to hear you and you want to have that close fellowship. Because remember this, one of the greatest purposes of prayer is to spend time with God. Just to draw nigh to God. Just to cozy up to the King of the universe. Just to love being in the presence of the King of the universe. Three things I see is prayer is all about God. And I think that's primarily what prayer is all about. But it's about also he cares about our needs and he says, I already know what you need before you ask. Isn't that good? I love that. And so verse 26 tells me that even when I don't know what to ask, the Holy Spirit does. He says, I know what you need. And so he's going to take care of that. Are you encouraged by that? I mean, I am there all the time. I tell the Lord this all the time. I'll say, Lord, I have no idea what to do. I don't even know what to ask for. I struggle with this. Do you struggle praying, not knowing God's will? I love when the Bible tells me God's will. I'll go, well, I can pray right for that. I know this is what you want. Mm-hmm. But then you get this new job opportunity. Oh, what do you do? Another company to buy. How do you know? How do you even know how to pray? You know, I want the will of God to be done, but man, I really want this. And so it's difficult, but here's what I love. The Holy Spirit will take care of that when I don't even know what to ask for. That's awesome. Is that not good? Do you know later here in Romans chapter 8, it says that Jesus intercedes for us as well? You just got to love this. This is a busy heaven going on here. You know, the Holy Spirit's making groanings that can't be uttered. And we'll talk about what that might mean. And Jesus is interceding for you. It's good to be a child of God. God cares for you. Don't forget that. And when infirmities happen and they continue to stay, trust the Lord with those. But I absolutely love it. So I want to tell you this. Here's what I love. I'm disappointed. I'm wrong, okay? Just so you know, I'm wrong. I want more detail on how to better pray. Come on now, Jesus. Give it to me. And he just simplified it. He says, it's about God, it's about your sin, and it's about your daily needs. And got to be more. He says, you focus on that, and the Holy Spirit will take care of everything else. Amen. Okay, really? And prayer can be more. I'm just telling you, make it about God, not about you. You'll leave times of prayer refreshed. When you make it about God and not about you, you know, we have a small group of men that meet on Tuesdays at 6, and I'm not promoting it. It's refreshing. It's one of my favorite times, and I don't like to get up early. I actually wanted to make it earlier so that I would actually not want to do it more. Because I so just want my flesh to kick and scream and say, are you an idiot? My flesh says that every Tuesday morning. And I'm like, is it snowing? And but every time I spend time with the Lord, and we've purposefully tried to make it not about us. It's about God. You see, what I love is this. Do you feel like a, you know, Sister Ralph, I'm going to guess you're a prayer warrior. Would you be insulted? Would you agree that God's taught you a lot in how to pray over the years? Isn't that good? Would you be okay with that title, prayer warrior? You know how to take your request to the Lord. See, I think that's wonderful. I'm not. I want to be. So if I'm going to be a prayer warrior in my 90s, I better be in my 50s. And so I knew you were. That's the only reason why. We've never talked about that. And Lorraine Mason, right? She knows how to pray. I'm giving you a few people that if you've got some requests and you don't want to wait on the Holy Spirit, Sister Ratliff would be a great option. Lorraine Mason would be a great option. My wife is an amazing option as well. I mean, there's times my wife prays and I don't want it to be answered. I know that's terrible because I'm like, I'm so tired of her asking the Lord to bless, and then whoom, and I'm like, hey, didn't I ask for the same thing 2 months ago? And he's like, I really like her though. I'm not sure what it is, right? But what I love about this, I love this. The Holy Spirit makes up for my infirmities. The Holy Spirit makes up for my weakness. I love that. By God's grace, I will never stop striving to be a better person of prayer. I will never stop striving until the day I die, and I'll probably be learning for all of eternity how to pray. That's just communicating with God, right? And so but I love this. I feel like this passage is to encourage a guy like me. I don't know what I'm doing, but the Holy Spirit does. Third thing I want you to see, and I'll go through these a little faster. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Look at this. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this is important. So many people talk about the Holy Spirit as a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit isn't just putting pressure. The Holy Spirit is groaning for you. And this isn't anything to do with, you know, modern day tongues want to make some claim on this. It says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look, here's what the Bible says. When Paul, or that's who I believe it was, when he went to the third heaven and came back, and he talks about that, I think it's in 2 Corinthians 12 as well. And he said, I knew a man, and I think he's talking about himself in the third person. God told him not to say anything about that experience of going to heaven. You know this, there's some things that happen in heaven that God doesn't want you to know about, and he doesn't want me to know about. There's things that the Holy Spirit will groan and will utter, and it's not something to be repeated. But I will tell you that the Holy Spirit is communicating, and if you understand this, this is kind of an amazing perspective. It's, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I've always envisioned this passage to, as I've seen the Lord or the Holy Spirit groan over my failures. And he's like, oh, and then he goes to the Lord to intercede for me. I don't think that's what it is, but he does care. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and he groans for us. He is a true person, one of the Trinity. There's only one God, three persons, and the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. And here's the good news. It doesn't matter whether you know what you need or not. He knows what you need. It doesn't matter whether you know what to ask for or not. He knows what to ask for. You should be reminded of this passage the next time you're like, I don't even know how to pray. I kind of probably should be excited because the Holy Spirit will go, I'll take over. Who would you rather be praying, you or the Holy Spirit? Maybe I should start the next service. Lord, I don't know what to say. I'll leave it to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'd be like, wow, our service would be over much faster. But he wants to hear from us. But I will tell you, I would rather him, and he does, he intercedes. Now, here's what I love. Verse 27 does clear up this confusion in verse 26, if there is any. And he says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." Who are we always praying to? God the Father. And who would the Spirit be making groanings of intercession to? God the Father. Okay? Who is it in verse 27 that searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit? So these groanings which cannot be uttered, I want you to know the Father knows the Spirit's mind. And they are on the same page. They're one. And so be encouraged with this. If we understand this, do you understand why Romans 8:28 follows this? Is this beginning to make sense? Because the Lord says, hey, look, the Spirit knows what you need. He'll help with your infirmities. He makes groanings that cannot be uttered. The Father knows the mind of the Spirit. And so I want you to know this. All things work together for good. Because there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of difficulty. There are people being slaughtered. It will finally help you understand when you see this in verse 36. Go home and read the whole passage later. Look at verse 36 of chapter 8. As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Those are the people that he's talking about that says, hey, look, the Holy Spirit's got your back. Hey, look, all things work together for good, including those that get slaughtered like sheep. What? Again, the book Leadership Opposite doesn't have that particular topic, but the Bible's the exact opposite of what you'd think. All things working together for good may be my martyrdom. One of the books I was reading during my quarantine talked about this young boy whose grandfather was a pastor in the just distant portions of China. His grandfather was a pastor, and he had a faithful pastor's wife, and they came and they raided this meeting they were having, and they kicked the grandfather down on the ground. And the mother said something. The grandmother said something. And they took their sword and cut off the grandfather's head. This is why the grandson's sitting there. And a few moments later, they cut off the grandmother's head. This grandson ended up being a second-generation pastor. His son became a pastor. And the grandson was martyred in prison 17 years later. All things work together for good, including sheep led to the slaughter. Those things are beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. Let me just tell you this. The groanings. The Holy Spirit cares about your struggles, cares about your pain. He gets no pleasure from the death of the wicked. Remember that in our passage that we read this morning in Ezekiel chapter 33? You think he gets no pleasure from the death of the wicked? He gets no pleasure from the death of his people and the pain of his people. He suffers, he groans, and he will reward. But I will tell you that we can trust him because he's giving us this great confidence that the Holy Spirit and the Father are on the same page. And then here's the final thing. This is what I love. The Spirit, look at this in verse 27, and he says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." This is good news. I've not done this very often, but when I study passages, I always try to think, what would I do differently as I study this passage? Part of me says, well, maybe I ought to do something different. And I'd say, if I don't know what the will of God is, maybe I would just say, Holy Spirit, I need you to ask God for his will. Because everything the Holy Spirit asks for is the will of God. That's what this says. He says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." Why? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit, will never intervene. The Holy Spirit will never intercede. The Holy Spirit will never ask for anything that is not the will of the Father. I'm encouraged by that. Then, does that better help you understand that when all things work together for good, it's because you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. We'll see this later in Romans 8. Jesus intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit makes groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit makes requests that are the specific requests of the will of God. And then whatever's left, that's why we trust Him. Sometimes Christianity looks foolish. I was reading another book, and the one question, it was an American that was visiting a mission outpost. And while he was visiting this mission outpost, the pastor's wife, her husband was taken. And in front of the children, and it was very dramatic. And this man asked the woman, Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You know, you could have just not been so vocal. Is it worth it? And so, you know, at the end of the day, Christianity looks foolish because sometimes Christians are slaughtered. Sometimes Christians have, from an earthly perspective, some of the most miserable lives from a physical perspective of human beings on this earth. But if we honor Christ, and if we trust that all things work together for good, it'll be worth it all. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll give us great confidence in you. I love this. I think from this point on in chapter 8, you're going to give us reasons to trust in your work, in your power, in your authority. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells each believer in this room. I pray that we would